Church family, sorry for the technical difficulties we had. That's kind of part of how things work with COVID and live streams and stuff like that. So we apologize for that. Thank you all who are working hard back there trying to get everything going. But we are rolling now, I think. So we are going to be walking through some of God's Word. Well, imagine that you entered in one of those singing contests like American Idol or The Voice or whatever your favorite one is, and you made it through round after round after round, and then you actually won. You won, and not like one of those winners that like wins briefly and then no one ever hears of them again. They produce one album and then no one cares, but you won. You went like Carrie Underwood winning. You won, and then for years and years you had this long career as a musician. You became a known musician, songwriter, and people actually forgot you started by winning a contest in a singing show. And as years go by, you write good songs, you have good concerts, you appear in a movie or two, and life is good. And as you're getting older, as the years progress, you feel that you want to write one last song. You want to write a song that's better than all your songs before, a song that summarizes much of your life. One last song. One last song to express much of what you have learned. Well, today we are going to look at such a song. Please open in your Bibles to Psalm 145. Yes, if you're on the couch, stand up and go get your Bible and come back. You can put your coffee down. I know you have your pajamas on. It is okay. King David wrote Psalm 145. He was an excellent musician. He was in Saul's court. He wrote lots of songs. But this one, Psalm 145, is his last. It is the song that he went out with. It is a summary of much that David wants to pass down. And at the end of the year 2020 into the year 2021, this psalm is worth knowing. This psalm is worth having its tune in our ears, its lyrics in our head. This psalm is an excellent psalm to study. Psalm verses 145. Psalm 145. Five reads like this. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord Yahweh, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. On the glorious splendor of your majesty and on your works, wondrous works, I will meditate. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. They shall pour forth the fame of your abundant goodness and shall sing aloud of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is good to all, and his mercy is over all that he has made. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord, and all your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power, to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. The Lord is faithful in all his words and kind in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and you give them their food in due season. You open your hand and you satisfy the desire of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and kind in all his works. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. He fulfills the desire of those who fear him. He also hears the cry and saves them. The Lord preserves all who love him, but all the wicked he will destroy. My mouth will speak the praise of the Lord. Let all flesh bless his holy name forever and ever. Lord, we pray that you would bless the reading and teaching of your word, even through media. And Lord, that you would guard my mouth from error, and that we would please and honor you with soft hearts today. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 145 is actually an acrostic in the Hebrew alphabet. This song or psalm is one of my favorites. It's a go-to psalm for me. It serves my heart. A few weeks ago, as I was laying around my house with COVID and my family as well, when fatigue and exhaustion were kind of the main symptoms I had, as well as congestion I'm still working on getting rid of, I needed God's perspective. I needed God's heart. And where did I go? I went to Psalm 145. This is one of my go-to passages. If this is not one of your go-to passages, you have other ones, this is one you want to write on your list of a go-to passage to warm your heart to Yahweh and his perspective on life. And here's what it teaches us. The Lord is great and gracious, and he is worthy of our ongoing adoration. The Lord is great and gracious. He is worthy of our ongoing adoration. So here's point number one. I'm just going to kind of break those up in 2 points. First is this: the Lord is great and gracious. Lord is capital L-O-R-D. That's Yahweh. That's the personal name that God gave to Moses at the burning bush. Verse 1, David begins with turning his heart to God. Now, there's no warm-up. Now, most people aren't in this room this Sunday, but on some Sundays, you may have this experience that I do, where you come in and your heart doesn't feel as warm toward the Lord as you need. And so the first song goes, and you're like speaking the truth and kind of getting warmed up. And then the next song goes, and you're like, okay, yeah. And so as you go, you feel warmer and warmer toward the things of the Lord, the truth that you're singing, the truth that you're hearing, the truth that you're hearing others sing. David isn't getting a warm-up here. He dives right in. I will extol you, my God and King, and bless your name forever and ever. And notice, this is King David writing, the best king in all of Israel's history, and he isn't focusing on his own greatness. Most kings want others to bow to him. Most kings want worship and loyalty and devotion only focused on them. Most older kings are struggling through letting go of power as their life gets up in years. But David, he's not pointing to himself. He's not trying to hoard power. No, he's pointing to a grander king. He knows that there is one who is greater. Look at verse 3. Great is the Lord Yahweh, and greatly to be praised. His greatness is unsearchable. You will not find the bottom of Yahweh's greatness. You will not find the end of it. You can search. You can say, well, his greatness must be, if I explore enough, I will find the end of it. It does not end in just him creating galaxies. It does not end in his intricate details of cells and DNA or his magnificent sea creatures. No, those are just small samples. Those are like before COVID when you went into Costco and there's the little sample lady all over the place. You get your little sample of that goodie. That's a small sample. Galaxies and cells and DNA and sea creatures, those are samples of the goodness and greatness of Yahweh. In Isaiah chapter 40, Isaiah is just trying to grapple with who God is and his vastness. He says that the oceans are but in the hollow of his hand, the little dip. So kids that are watching, you can hold your hand out. And as your hand just goes down a little bit there, that's for God. Those are the oceans, all oceans just in the dip of his hand. Or the heavens, the sky, it's the span. It's thumb to pinky. It's the span for God. It's just small. It's a little sample. You see, God is great, and his greatness is unsearchable. Yet in verse 16, it says that for Yahweh, that same hand satisfies those whom he's created. You see, the God of the Bible is different than the God of any other religion. for the Muslim, Allah is great, but he's not gracious. Buddha is gracious, but he's not great. Modern secular atheism isn't great or gracious, but Yahweh is both great and gracious. Let's consider his graciousness. Verse 15 and 16 show that God provides. He gives to the needs of those whom he's created. He provides for the world. And let's just pause or slow down and think about that for a second. God provides. This creator provides. You need life-sustaining liquid. I heard a guy recently say, life-sustaining liquid for us falls from the sky. Who creates a universe like that? Who creates a world where the very thing you need falls from the sky? Plants grow from the ground. Some of you guys sitting in your pajamas right now, you are sitting and warming yourself with cotton PJs that grow from a plant. Like, just think about that. God grows our clothes from plants and animals. God provides for us. It's quite amazing when we think about the graciousness of God and how he created and provides for us through creation. Isn't that what Yahweh does? And he's not reluctant in doing that. He's not just kind of tethering us to loyalty because he provides for us. No, this is Yahweh's character. He is great, but he is gracious. Verse 8 says, "The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love." Yahweh reveals himself in this way. Verse 8 and 9 are kind of the pinnacle of this psalm. In fact, it's a direct quote from Exodus 34, where Moses is asking God, "Show me your glory, God." And Yahweh passes by Moses. He puts his hand because he can't see all his glory, or Moses would die. And Yahweh declares this of himself. In Exodus 34, it says, The Lord, this is Yahweh, a God merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, keeping steadfast love for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, but who by no means will clear the guilty. And what does Moses do? He bows. He hits the floor. He hits the ground and asks Yahweh to pardon his sin and iniquity, to pardon the people's sin and iniquity. You see, when we get near the greatness of Yahweh, we become aware of our need for the graciousness of Yahweh. You realize you need help. You aren't worthy to be there. But the only one who can help you is Yahweh. And my New Testament inclinations right now want to go straight to the gospel, where Jesus came to earth, died on the cross, took our sin, granted us righteousness, rose victorious. God is great and gracious to us in Jesus. Amazing grace. But let's pause. Let's hold there and stay in our Old Testament and slow down and consider this old man pinning this song, this king writing his final song. David writing this song, quoting Moses, quoting what God said to Moses. David pondering Yahweh, passing by Moses. David considering Yahweh's self-designation, his declaration. This is one of the only times in the Old Testament where Yahweh speaks about Yahweh, about what we should think about Yahweh. And what does he say? Yahweh is gracious. Yahweh is merciful. Yahweh is slow to anger. Yahweh is abounding in steadfast love. Friends, this last song of David shows us God's heart. We read in other verses that David was a man after God's heart. Here in this passage, we get God's heart. He cared about this. David cared about this. He wanted you to know this. He wants you to understand God's heart. Friend, do you know God's heart? When you think of God, do you think of him as being demanding or disappointed with you? If that's what you think, you don't know God's heart. Do you think of him as a hard taskmaster or a distant parent? If that's what you think, you do not know God's heart. Do you think God is playing tricks on you, just trying to get you to do what he wants you to do and manipulating? If that's what you think, you do not know God's heart. When you think of Yahweh, God, looking at you, what expression does he have on his face? Friends, God's self-designation, the first words out of his mouth, is that he's gracious and merciful. That's his heart. Dane Ortlund, in his excellent book, Gentle and Lowly, argues that many of us feel like we are on God's bad side, and that he's just waiting to blow up on us. We believe God's anger is like pent up, and the slightest little prick, it's going to explode. Ortlund says this: we tend to think divine anger is pent up and spring-loaded, but divine mercy is slow to build. Ortlund says this: it's just the opposite. God is slow to anger, but his grace, his divine mercy, it's spring-loaded, it's pent up to go towards sinners. Ortlund spends an entire chapter on this, honestly the entire book on this, pleading with Christians to know God's heart. Yahweh is more gracious than you think. Yahweh is more merciful than you can imagine. Exodus 34 says that sin may affect a third and fourth generation, but his mercy and grace will affect thousands of generations. Yahweh is gushing with this. He is gracious. He is great. And friends, we need to ask ourselves, do we believe that? Do we believe that? Now, I'm one of those weird people who gets a song in my head and it does not come out until another song comes into my head. I will wake up in the middle of the night and there's a song going in my head. It's really infuriating when I only know part of a song, because then it just loops in my head over and over. It might be a Hamilton rap. It might be a praise song. Currently, it's the Lauren Daigle Noel song because my kids were singing it loudly yesterday. Friends, here's a song that we need to have the lyrics looping in our head in Psalm 145. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. The Lord is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. Friends, these are true words. These are divine words. And get this, they are true whether you like it or not. Friends, you just read the book of Jonah. Jonah's told to go to the Ninevites. He goes and preaches repentance reluctantly, and Nineveh weeps, like they turn to Yahweh, they turn to God. And you know what Jonah says? You know what his accusation of Yahweh is? He's like, dang it, God, you saved the Ninevites because I knew you were gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and abounding in steadfast love. You see, we can turn the same thing into an accusation. Friends, this grace is overwhelmingly encouraged to the needy, and it's offensive to the proud. And here's the truth. God's not asking for your opinion. He calls you to embrace this truth. He is gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And as you embrace that truth of Yahweh, you find hope. You find that, yes, you deserve punishment for your sin, but then we fast forward to the New Testament, we find that Jesus graciously drank the cup of wrath that you deserve. You find that forgiveness is given in Jesus. You don't have to live a life of regret and condemnation. You don't have to pay for your own sin. You don't have to work your way to God. No, you find the heart of God, who's gracious and merciful and slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And you find, like the prodigal son, the father running to you, lavishing gifts on you, caring for you. And it changes everything. And you begin to realize that the Lord, oh, he's so worthy. Point number two, the Lord is worthy of ongoing adoration. We just get to marvel that we are recipients of this merciful, gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love, God. As David writes this song about Yahweh, he's not rigid. He's not distant or disconnected. He's not systematic. It's not like reading a user manual. Now, David speaks of a deep, intense care, love, loyalty, joy, relationship. And he's grasping at words to try to explain this. He's like just using tons of words. If you read commentaries, they're like, David's just like, he's extending out his vocabulary to try to explain Yahweh. I mean, just verse 10, as you read 10 through 13, it's all your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord. All your saints shall bless you. They shall speak of the glory of your kingdom and tell of your power to make known to the children of man your mighty deeds and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures throughout all generations. David is pumped. He's getting riled up. God is glorious. God is gracious. And he wants to tell somebody. And friends, that's our natural heart compulsion. When we value something, when we see the value of a relationship, we want to talk about it. When you adore someone, you want to talk about them. Just get around a new mom for 5 seconds, and they will talk about their young one. Doesn't take long. David says that this truth about Yahweh is talked about by those who love him. It's passed on. Look at verse 4. One generation shall commend your works to another and shall declare your mighty acts. Oh, just picture in your head that one generation telling the next generation of the works of God, both in the Bible and in life experience. They declare the mighty acts of God, parents to children, grandparents to grandchildren, roommates speaking to each other, high schoolers to middle schoolers, teenagers to children, generations hearing about Yahweh and how he is faithful. Friends, it is passed down. Verse 6 tells us what it looks like. They shall speak of the might of your awesome deeds, and I will declare your greatness. I'll declare your greatness. We speak about what amazes us. To hear Leroy Bishop talk about his love for the Lord, he declares his love for Jesus. To hear about his grandson coming to know Jesus as Savior, he declares the greatness of the Lord. I was talking to Colin Papke, my next door neighbor, just the other night, and he was recounting how his first Christmas when he came to know Jesus, and how it, like, his eyes lit up. He understood the Savior's birth in a way the previous however many years he lived before that, he just didn't understand. He didn't comprehend who Jesus was. And then all of a sudden, he's a Christian and he understands the incarnation of Jesus, birth of Jesus, and all these songs mean something different. Telling of your awesome deeds, I will declare your greatness. We recount God's faithfulness. And friends, it's not just inside the walls of our family or inside the walls of the church that we declare the greatness of God and His mighty acts, but it's also outside, to our neighbors, to our co-workers, to our friends who don't know Him, that are near to us but far from God. As I mentioned earlier in the service, we had a gospel conversation emphasis in early 2020. We were able to have over 100 gospel conversations as a church family this past year. And our goal is to have 100 more just in the first 3 months of 2021. We want to declare His greatness. We want to declare the greatness of Yahweh to our neighbors and to the nations, to our neighbors, our co-workers, to our roommates, to our lost family members. And so, friends, as I said earlier, let's start praying. Who does God want us to share with? Who does God have in our lives that's kind of the low-hanging fruit to share of the greatness of God with them? But before we finish today, I want us to consider the ongoing adoration that David expresses in this psalm. Look at verse 2. He says, "Every day I will bless you and praise your name forever and ever." Every day. Every day, David's relationship with Yahweh is continuous. It's ongoing. It's real. It's daily. It's not just once a week. It's not just once a month. It's not just twice a year. No, it is a daily reoccurrence. It reminds me of John 4 when Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well, and He talks about the true worshipers whom the Father is seeking, those who every day will bless you and praise your name forever and ever. Then you go to verse 18. "The Lord is near all who call on Him, to all who call on Him in truth." This ongoing relationship with Yahweh is an awareness of His nearness and an awareness of the access we have. Verse 5, David says he meditates on this. Verse 14, "The Lord upholds all who are falling and raises up all who are bowed down." Friends, God is not distant. He upholds those who are falling. Do you feel like you're falling? Have you felt like you are falling in this last 12 months? Friends, again, we find the heart of God toward us. Do you know the heart of God? Do you have that relationship with God through Christ Jesus? Today we've looked at David's last song, the song that expresses a lifetime of walking with God, ups and downs. We know David's life, sin and forgiveness, but it's one of relationship. David wanted to know God's heart. He was a man, Scripture says, after God's own heart. And in this psalm, we have seen God's heart. So as we end this live stream today, consider God's heart towards you. He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And consider how worthy He is of your ongoing adoration. Right now, as we close our time, I want you to consider two things. If you're in a room with family, kids, or roommates, or you can do this by yourself, I want you to think of these kind of two homework assignments that you can do right now as we finish the live stream. First is take some time to thank Yahweh. Take time to thank God for His grace and kindness toward you over this last year. Take time to share these areas of gratefulness with those around you, naming specific ways God has worked. So take time to thank Him. You can go around the room and talk as a family if you're there with your family. So first homework assignment, take time to thank Yahweh. Second is take time to ask Yahweh. Ask Him for grace for this upcoming year, for 2021. Maybe use Psalm 145 to guide your prayers. Maybe as we studied Psalm 145 today, God stirred in your heart an area where He desires you to grow. So asking Him for growth in that area. Maybe it's a parent or grandparent. You want to do a better job passing that gospel on to the next generation. Maybe it's asking for grace and consistency in your daily walk with the Lord. Maybe it's helping you know His heart in 2021, because you're like, I know He's gracious and merciful, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love, but I just don't know it. I want to know more. I want to go deeper. Take time to ask. So take time to thank and take time to ask. Let me pray for us as we close. Lord, thank you that you are gracious and merciful. Lord, that's your heart. That's your heart in Jesus coming to earth. That's always been your heart. That's your character. You're gracious and merciful. God, thank you that you are slow to anger. And thank you that you are abounding in steadfast love. God, let us learn all the more. I ask on behalf of our church, Lord, that we would learn your heart this coming year. Lord, that we would sing in ways and pray in ways and fast in ways and sit in your word as a church and individually in ways that we know your heart. And we thank you for your heart and how you show it in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that even as we pray, even as families in their homes will pray now, you're already praying for us. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father, already interceding. So we join in that. What hope. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, we love you. Thanks for joining live stream. We'll make an announcement this coming week about plans for this next Sunday. We're hoping to be back together. That's the plan at this moment, but we'll let you know for sure in the coming days. Love you guys. We'll see you next week.